as so often happens, after we talked about all of the study in Joel, and there were several verses that we talked about, just right down all the way through the Bible, that I wanted to spend just one week on, just for fun, talking about how often the word cloud and clouds come up in the Bible in reference to God's presence. It's fun to see that, because it starts at the beginning and goes all the way to the end. And so, I was about three-fourths of the way working on that, and then something happened in the Middle East this week that sort of took precedence, and there was so much happening. I mean, and I checked everything with the news and everything again this morning right before I came up here, just to kind of be sure we're up to date. But there, as I'm reading through all the different news services, it is amazing to see the different perspectives that the different news services in different areas of the world see with what's happening in Israel and the Gaza Strip. They more often than not refer to Israel's operation as an offensive. And you're going, well, now wait a minute. they had rockets launched against them, and so they reacted. I think that's called defense. I would think. So they call it an offensive. And of course, all the Arab world is condemning Israel as being the aggressor, and that's to be expected. But then there's a lot of other folks that are calling for a measured response. Now, if somebody in Mexico was launching missiles across into Texas, what would our measured response be? That's what I just don't understand. And especially with the history in Israel and the Gaza Strip and everything, you don't have you kill three of ours, so we're going to be sure we kill three of yours, and then we'll wait and see what happens next. You just don't do that. So anyway, I just wanted to go through a few things and help to remind us. Some of you, this will be just a refresher. Some of you, this may be some of the first time you've heard some of these things that about Israel and the things that have gone on in the Gaza Strip. So I want to kind of show you this graphic that's pretty interesting. Because early in the week, last week, there was 128 rockets that were fired from Gaza Strip into Israel. Okay, that's kind of where all this started. Now then, ever since 2005, Israel and the Jewish people evacuated Gaza Strip. Okay? So, and I'll show you some of this history here in a second. So there has not been a Jewish presence in the Gaza Strip since 2005. At that time, Israel said, we are going to go out of the Gaza Strip, turn it all over to you. However, if you start firing rockets into Israel, we're coming after you. The warning was there. Well, the rockets started immediately. So ever since that time, there have been rockets fired into Israel. In 2006, the Palestinian Authority had an election, and Hamas won the majority. Well, Fatah, which is the other part of the Palestinian Authority, Fatah under Mahmoud Abbas and Hamas do not get along. Okay? So what happened was that Fatah is governing the West Bank and Hamas is governing the Gaza Strip. So basically, when you get down to it, you have two countries is what you have. They're not sovereign nations or anything, but you've got two different areas ruled by two different groups. Okay? So that's kind of a dangerous deal. So on Tuesday, after these rockets started being launched, well, Israel warned Hamas. They said, don't launch any more rockets into Israel, or we're going to resume our targeted assassination of Hamas members and leaders. And guess what? More rockets were instantly fired. And so on Wednesday, the Israeli Air Force kills Ahmad al-Jabari, who is the leader of the Al-Qassam Brigade of Hamas, the armed wing of Hamas. He was also the mastermind of the 2006 kidnapping of Gilad Shalit, an Israeli soldier that they held for 5 years. Okay? So whenever they took out Jabari. Well, of course, that initiated a flurry of rockets into Israel also. The Israeli Air Force flew over and dropped leaflets all over the Gaza Strip telling everybody to stay away from any Hamas member. You're just safer the further away that you can get from anybody associated with Hamas. And so they warned them time and time again. From Wednesday to Thursday, in a 24-hour period, almost 300 rockets were sent into Israel. There were three Israelis killed in a little town called Kiryat Malachi, which is the town of the prophet Malachi, and it is a little bit southeast of Ashdod. I think I can get my little pen going here. Here is Ashdod on the Mediterranean coast. Kiryat Malachi is about right there. Okay, so quite a bit of a range. There were three Israelis killed. There's been several others wounded. The interesting thing is, too, that all of a sudden there were rockets that reached Tel Aviv. And so you can see Tel Aviv all the way up here. What's going on here? And then, on top of that, they also fired rockets toward Dimona, which is the area where Israel's nuclear reactor is. Israel neither confirms nor denies the presence of nuclear weapons in Israel. But if they have them, they were probably built and stored somewhere around Dimona. So for a rocket to be reaching that reactor is going to be a huge deal. A really big deal. So the Israeli Air Force retaliated. Thursday, Egypt withdrew their ambassador from Israel. Egypt and Israel have had relations since 1978 when the peace accord was signed. Egypt and Jordan are the only two Arab countries that have relationships with Israel. So Egypt withdrew their ambassador. The Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt demanded that the government cut ties, all ties, with Israel. Again, what I've been talking about for the last year, almost 2 years with the Arab Spring Uprising, is that the Muslim Brotherhood would probably come to power in Egypt, and that's exactly what happened, because there was a void that needed to be filled, a power vacuum that needed to be filled, and the Muslim Brotherhood, it was the only one organized enough to fill that void, and sure enough, they've come in. Now then, Mohamed Morsi, the president of Egypt, has said that, you know, we will continue ties with Israel, nothing's going to change, everything's going to be okay, except now that we're in a pinch now, then the Muslim Brotherhood representatives are pressuring Morsi to drop ties with Israel. This doesn't surprise me one bit. They just want an excuse to cancel the peace treaty. So that hasn't happened yet, but, you know, you can see how easily it worked out. Friday, Morsi sent the Egyptian prime minister to go and visit Gaza. Okay, so the Egyptian prime minister goes into Gaza for a 3-hour visit. Israel agrees to a 3-hour ceasefire while the prime minister is there. Okay, so they back off. As soon as the prime minister gets into the Gaza Strip, Hamas starts launching rockets back into Israel. They launched 50 rockets in a 2-hour period into Israel while the prime minister was there. And so Israel responded. During that time, there were two rockets that landed near Jerusalem. And Jerusalem isn't even on here, but it's over in here somewhere. So what's going on with these rocket ranges all of a sudden? Because as you can see, the rockets that Hamas has had have been the Qassam rockets and the Grad rockets. The Grad rockets are modified for greater distance, but you can see the limit of this distance with their largest rocket. Well, come to find out, these are Iranian rockets. There you go. That have greater distance. So as of this morning, and they are 8 hours ahead of us, so they're coming up on 6 p.m. in Israel. As of this morning, there have been over 900 rockets launched since Wednesday into Israel. 30 of them just today. The Israeli Air Force has hit over 1,000 targets in the Gaza Strip. Now then, the other thing that, you know, is in all the newspapers talks about the number of civilians that are being killed in the Palestinian people in the Gaza Strip. you have to understand, these rocket launchers are just a little bit of a framework of steel. I mean, they can be easily carried from one spot to the other. They have pictures from surveillance of these rocket launchers being set up in schoolyards, right next to mosques, right next to hospitals, in the streets of downtown Gaza City. They have the pictures of these launchers. So whenever a launcher goes, they try to hit that spot. And the Israel Air Force does a very good job of pinpointing these spots, but as you well know, there's no way to clear everybody out of that one little spot instantaneously. As of this morning, there have been 53 Palestinians killed and I think 400 wounded. Three Israelis in Kiryat Malachi have been killed and several wounded also in all the different attacks. So that's kind of up until this morning what is happening. There is talk of a truce being talked about with Egypt mediating and getting things calmed down a little bit. And Israel, all they're saying is that's fine, but the rockets have to stop. I don't think that's very unreasonable a request. These rockets, it's interesting, they're not very accurate. Not at all. I mean, if you're launching them off of a little piece of metal framework just a few feet high, you're just kind of moving that framework around and shooting them and hoping for the best. So again, you have to look at the intent also behind who's doing what. At least the Israelis are trying to pinpoint these targets and locations, ammunition dumps, rocket assembly factories in the Gaza Strip, offices of Hamas members. At least they're trying to pinpoint these. When you're firing one of these rockets, you're just lobbing it into Israel and hope it hits something. Now then, you have to ask yourself what's going on in the minds of each of these groups. One group is very indiscriminate about where that rocket goes. The Hamas doesn't care. If they kill somebody, great. They don't care if it's a schoolyard that gets hit or a hospital. They don't care. They're Jews. Okay? So at least Israel is trying to pinpoint and warn the other Palestinians to get away from Hamas members, Hamas locations, all that. So that has to come into play, but that's pretty well ignored in most of the press. Okay, just right quick, and a lot, like I say, some of this will be a refresher. Just so you understand kind of some of the history of where this has come from. In 1947, the United Nations partitioned this area that was known as Palestine for quite a while. It was under the British mandate after World War II. They partitioned Palestine into an Arab state and a Jewish state. The original partition plan looked like this, with the gray area being the Arab state, the light tan area being the Jewish state, and Jerusalem was supposed to be an international zone, sort of like Berlin was an international city for a while. And so Jerusalem was supposed to be an international zone governed by a committee, so it would be open to all three faiths of the world, the Christian faith, Judaism, and Islam. And so that was the way it was originally intended. The Jewish people accepted the plan and said that, great, we'll take what is being offered and we'll build the state of Israel out of that. The Arabs immediately rejected. And so on May 14th, 1948, when Israel became a nation, the Arab countries immediately attacked Israel with the intent of wiping the state of Israel off the map and sending all the Jews into the sea. That's verbatim quotes. So their intent was the total destruction of Israel and the Jewish people on May 19th. Okay, well, as miracles would have it, outnumbered 100-1 with hardly any military equipment, artillery, or anything, the Jews won. You think, gosh, how did that happen? There's no explanation for it except there had to be divine intervention. So after that war was complete in 1947, when the truces were signed, from 1949 to 1967, the Arab state consisted of the West Bank, which is the west bank of the Jordan River. That's in the darker tan. And it was governed by Jordan. Okay, so Jordan at that time governed the west bank from 49 to 67. The maroon place is the Gaza Strip, and it was governed by Egypt. Okay? The rest of it, if you can see the difference here, see the gray that was supposed to be the Arab state? The rest of it was taken over by the Israelis. Jerusalem was a divided city. The west half of Jerusalem was Israeli. The east half was governed by Jordan, which included the Old City, Temple Mount, all of the Old City. So Jordan governed that part of the Old City. Okay. Now then, one of the questions you have to ask, because there's so much emphasis and so much import being put on, we want a Palestinian state. We want this to be an Arab state. You know, it's Mahmoud Abbas is going to present another declaration to the United Nations here in a week or two, trying to become the Palestinian state. You know, you have to ask the question, for almost 20 years, the Arabs had these territories. Why didn't they make that an Arab state then? And the reason is because they have always wanted to keep the Palestinians at the forefront of world opinion as being the victims and the hatred against the Jews at the top. So they have kept it that way. All right, so that was from 49 to 67. 1967 was the Six-Day War. There were troops from all the neighboring Arab nations that were amassing on Israel's border. Israel was telling them to back off, please get away. They were trying international diplomacy, please tell them to move all their troops back. It kept getting more and more tense. There were things happening that Egypt was pushing. There were the Syrians up on the north that were amassing their troops. It was bad. And finally, the last resort was, America, please help us. And LBJ said, if you're going to do this, you're going to do it alone. And guess what? That's probably where God wanted them anyway, so it worked out real fine. So Israel launched a preemptive attack in order to save their nation. And after that attack, they occupied everything. Israel occupied the Gaza Strip, the West Bank, all of Jerusalem, and the Golan Heights. So way up here in the north. Here's Syria. Here's the Sea of Galilee, and here's the Golan Heights, okay? So they took the Golan Heights from Syria. They still own that today. They took a buffer zone between Israel and Lebanon along the border. They gave that up in 2000 to Lebanon, and immediately Hezbollah started launching rockets into northern Israel. The Gaza Strip, they had until, again, 2005, whenever they took all the Jewish people out of the Gaza Strip and turned it totally over to the Palestinian Authority. Immediately, rockets started launching then, too. So everything has been, again, land for peace doesn't work. It hasn't worked, and it will continue not to work. At that time, in 67, they did take Jerusalem, but the only thing that they had in their hands and gave away was Temple Mount. Moshe Dayan, the Department of Defense minister, gave it back to the control of the Muslims for the sake of peace at that moment. And they had Israeli soldiers up on Temple Mount ready to level the Dome of the Rock and take back that sacred place. But they gave control back to the Muslims for the sake of peace. Now, then, one thing that I wondered, you know, it's just one of those things that kind of crosses my mind. You know, everybody always wonders, you know, as Christians, we know that there's going to be another temple built. Jesus talks about a temple. Paul talks about a temple. John talks about a temple. There's going to be a third temple built at some moment. The big question has always been, well, how are they going to get rid of the Dome of the Rock in Al-Aqsa Mosque? The third holiest site in Islam, how are they going to get rid of that and rebuild the temple up there? Then all of a sudden, one of these rockets hits close to Jerusalem last week. I'm going, wouldn't that be the ultimate irony to have some guy in Gaza Strip, you know, moving to one of these little, oh, just fire it, go! Whoops. I just thought that would be humorous. But that's something that, probably there have never been any rockets launched toward Jerusalem for that reason. Because if you hit the old city of Jerusalem, man, world opinion is going to be heavily against you. So anyway, that's kind of the history. Operation Cast Lead was another time. It was in late 2008, early 2009. For 3 weeks, Israel entered the Gaza Strip because of all the rocket fire from the Gaza Strip. And the defense forces entered Gaza Strip for 3 weeks. And after that, everything kind of died down and was quiet for a little while. But again, the rockets kept coming. So it's interesting to look at this in that respect. If you look at the rocket ranges of all of this, you start to see that, like I say, Tel Aviv being way up here looks like it's out of range. Jerusalem over here, Dimona. Well, come to find out that, like I say, the Far 5 rocket has been supplied by Iran, and so it has a much greater range and accuracy. And so that's probably why we're seeing rockets hit outside these zones of the Grad rockets, the Qassam rockets and everything. Normally, what you usually see for several years has been the little town of Sderot, and it's not going to be easy to see, but it's right here, which is right at the edge of the Gaza Strip, Sderot. They have received more rocket fire than anybody over the years, just because it's just a few miles on the other side of the Gaza Strip, and it's within mortar distance and everything. And so they've received more rocket fire than anybody else, but now it's really being stretched out. Now, also, you have to ask another question. Hamas is Sunni Muslim, okay, Sunnis. We know the Sunnis and the Shiites don't get along together, okay? Iran is Shiite Muslim. Now, why is Iran supplying rockets to Sunni Muslims? And that only is because they can agree on one thing, that Israel needs to be destroyed. So we can work together up to a certain point if it involves the destruction of the Jews in Israel. Great. If they wiped out Israel and the Jews, the Sunnis and the Shiites would be at each other's throats again. Otherwise, the one thing that all the different factions of Islam can agree on is that Israel needs to go. And they state it over and over and over. Okay? Just gets perspective. That's Israel. That's a scale map superimposed on the Texas panhandle. That's Israel. Now you see why they're worried about the range of rockets, okay? Because at any moment, I'm surprised it hadn't already started. When is Hezbollah in Lebanon going to start firing from the north to get in on all of this? I mean, I kept reading news sites thinking, okay, any day now it's going to start. And so if Hezbollah, who is known supported by Iran, has these range of rockets or more, we don't know, when are they going to be firing from Lebanon? All right, so that's in relation to the Texas Panhandle. The distance between the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea is about the same distance between Amarillo and Lubbock. Okay? Get your perspective. So, from one end of Israel to the other, north to south, 263 miles. 263 miles is all it is. The greatest width across Israel is 70 miles. Okay? That's basically from Amarillo to the New Mexico border. The waste point, the smallest point, and you've heard this talk about, Netanyahu has mentioned it in the United Nations speech, it's come up several times, about this 9-mile indefensible border that would be created, that they would have to deal with if they went back to the 49 borders. they have this 9-mile waste in Israel. And so their concern is that it's so easy to cut off northern Israel from southern Israel. With an army that knows what they're doing to come out of the West Bank, straight across the Mediterranean Sea in 9 miles, they can split Israel in half. That's their concern about that 9-mile waste. Okay? So that's where that 9 miles comes in. All right. The circle that I've drawn is a 40-mile diameter from the edge of Gaza Strip. So now you can see that, right up here, here's Jerusalem. Tel Aviv is right up here, so you can see that it's right there at that border of a 40-mile, so these rockets are even going a little bit further. So if you zoom in on that, you see that that 40-mile range almost extends down to Dimona, site of the nuclear reactor, Jerusalem, and Tel Aviv. So they've got rockets that are extending that even. So that's why they're worried. That's why they're wanting to put a stop to it as fast as possible. Because the Hamas has been infiltrating. They've been bringing rockets in undercover. They've been smuggling them through tunnels. That's why whenever you heard about the Marmara flotilla ship from Turkey, that's why you hear these flotilla ships are going to break the blockade for a statement in support of the Palestinians. And Israel boards these ships because they don't want this stuff coming into Gaza. It's purely for protection purposes because they know that that's what is being smuggled in. Now then, where did these rockets, how did they get in? Well, one thing is, do you remember the end of October when a mysterious explosion took place outside of Khartoum, Sudan? Did y'all read about that? It was a huge explosion, huge, and it was at an ammo facility outside of Khartoum, Sudan. Well, Sudan immediately accused the Israelis of flying it at night. There were 4 jets, they said, that came in and destroyed the dump and left. Well, they got a few problems. They said they flew in under radar, so they're not sure how they could have counted 4. How did they do that? If they were flying under radar, it was at night and all that kind of stuff. Also, the big question is the range of the military jets of Israel, can they reach Khartoum, Sudan? Some people don't think they can. And so they're not even sure what happened at this ammo dump. But part of this factory was supplying Iranian-made arms, and Iran is heavily involved in Sudan, and so it's very easy to look at a map and see that from Sudan, you just travel up the coast into the Egyptian Sinai, and then under the tunnels of Gaza Strip, one of the major crossings in Gaza is the Rafah crossing between Egypt and Gaza down here, and there are several tunnels in underneath there, so probably what was happening was they were manufacturing Iranian rockets, designed rockets outside of Khartoum, smuggling them through the Sinai, and Israel has hit convoys in the Sinai already. They know it's Iranian designed stuff, and so that's probably where some of these rockets were coming from. Again, Israel's out there trying to protect themselves constantly. Okay, so these rockets, that's their concern. Also, you got to wonder, if Syria, during the midst of their civil war that's going on now, at what point do they say, you know what, we know that we hate each other, but don't we hate Israel more? Let's kind of help these people down here. I wouldn't think that would be any big surprise if Syria got involved in this too. So, who knows? Just want to show you a few things. Any questions about this land or anything like that? Yes, ma'am? What she's asking about is a missile defense system called Iron Dome. The United States helped to fund Iron Dome in Israel. If you remember the Patriot missiles that we had during the Gulf War and still have here, Iron Dome is like a smaller scale version of that that they have these installations all over Israel, and they are trying to shoot down as many of these rockets as they can. They haven't shot down, it's been less than half, way less than half, of all the rockets that have been fired, these interceptor rockets have hit. So there's still a whole lot of rockets to get through. Also, every one of those that they fire is $10,000. So it's an expensive thing for Israel to defend itself. Yes, ma'am.
Jim, I saw a program yesterday, though, about Operation Iron Dome, that it is so sophisticated. It knows the trajectory.
Yep.
And if it's going to hit in an area that's non-populated, they don't even try to get it.
Good. What she says is Iron Dome is sophisticated enough that it figures the trajectory of the rocket, and if it's going to hit out in an unpopulated area, it doesn't even fire. So, but you got to realize, I mean, they have literally a few seconds from the time one of these things is fired until it has to react. I mean, it's an amazing piece of equipment, but it's not 100% accurate. So, anything else about the size or the scale, or does everybody understand the layout of the Gaza Strip and everything? Cheryl?
Is the Gaza Strip like a geographic region, or is it more like just a line drawn in the sand?
It's a line drawn in the sand, literally. Yeah. The Gaza Strip is only like 7 miles wide at its widest point, about 25 miles long. So it's a very small place. It has about 1.5 million people in there. So one of the largest areas is... You can see the red mark is the Gaza Strip. Okay? And then if you zoom in on this Jabalia, that's a refugee camp, a Palestinian refugee camp that is left over from the Six-Day War. Well, actually, this one started in 1949. So there's another question for you. What is there a Palestinian refugee camp in the middle of the Gaza Strip? Yes, sir?
I don't know how to answer that question, but the Prime Minister of Israel told his people to mobilize for a 7-week war.
Yeah. So Netanyahu has been saying that they have several thousand, like maybe 30,000, I've heard anywhere from 15 to 30,000 Israeli troops along the Gaza border ready to go in. So they're hoping that this truce gets tagged and so they can call it off, but they're ready to go, yes? Part of what he's saying is that some of the suspicion is what happened in Libya had to do with Libyan arms, because Israel suspects that some of these missiles are also coming from Libya. After the downfall of Libya, there was a whole lot of armament that disappeared, and they're thinking it wound up in the Gaza Strip. Okay, so one of the suspicions is the Benghazi-Libya cover-up, we don't know. We may never know, but it's certainly a possibility. Just to show you here, see, here's Sderot, the town of Sderot, just a few miles from the border. That's why they receive most of the hits. Okay? So that's Gaza Strip. Here's the Rafah crossing. Rafah, and that's the main crossing between the Egyptian Sinai and into Gaza Strip. So, there's the Dead Sea to the east, Mediterranean to the west, there's Tel Aviv. So, okay, Jerusalem. So you got your bearings? Okay. The major gas fields are up here off of Haifa, out in the Mediterranean, a few miles out in the Mediterranean off of Haifa. Israel has discovered three fields, natural gas fields. The estimates, if you add them all up, are about 25 trillion cubic feet of gas, which is something else to look forward to here in the next year or two. Israel could become an energy exporter and a player in the energy market. Now then, if you have OPEC made up of all the Arab nations and you have Israel selling gas on the open market into the world, oh my goodness, this, that would be, okay, any other questions? Okay, just a couple of slides here that I want to remind you of who Hamas is and what they're about, okay? This man, back in a year ago, Mohammed al-Masri, one of the leaders in the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, wrote that the conflict between Muslims and Israel is, at heart, religious, and that jihad must be waged wherever Islamic land is occupied. The conflict between the Zionist state and the Muslim Ummah, or the Muslim community, is not like the fight between a landowner and a plundering occupier. The fight is, in essence, a struggle of faith. The Quran indicates this fight will continue until the day of judgment. Now then, let me ask you, if that's the case, how does land enter into this? Why doesn't land for peace work? Because they see it as a religious war. That's why it's never going to work. They are not interested in land for peace. They're not interested in the land per se, except for the point that they want it all and they want the Jews gone. That says it right there. It says in the Quran that this struggle is going to continue till the day of judgment. That's the way they see it. And that it is not like a fight between a landowner and an occupier. It's not about the land per se. The Jews need to go. That's all there is to it. That's why it is not political. It's not about the land. It's not negotiable. And diplomacy is not going to work. I'm just presenting the facts from their own mouths. All right. One of the main leaders of Hamas is Khalid Mashal. The liberation of Palestine will come with the help of Allah until it is attained by the last soldier, woman, and child, despite resistance by Israel and the United States. Jerusalem will become Arab and Muslim again, including all the places holy to Islam and Christianity. Who did he leave out? The Jews. The Jews have far more holy sites in Israel than Islam and Christianity. Why would he leave them out? Because they're going to be gone. That's why. With the Jews gone, there will be no more Judaism or holy sites. That's just straight from their own mouths. Okay, then Mahmoud Zahar, he is the Hamas leader in the Gaza Strip, says neither the liberation of the Gaza Strip nor the liberation of the West Bank or even Jerusalem will suffice us. Hamas will pursue the armed struggle until the liberation of all our lands. We don't recognize the state of Israel or its right to hold on to 1 inch of Palestine. Palestine is an Islamic land belonging to all the Muslims. Is it about the land? Is it about, what is it? Are they going to be happy with any land borders? Are they going to be happy with land for peace? Are they? No. He says it doesn't belong to the Jews. We're going to continue to fight until not one square inch is left in Jewish hands.
And as you pointed out, even if that was the case, you'd still be fighting,
yep,
because of the Shiite-Sunni problem.
So even when they take Israel, they would still be at each other's throats. But this land for peace negotiations, all that, it's not going to work. That's from their viewpoint, okay? And then just to show you the basis for all this is the Hamas charter. The Hamas group is a wing of the Muslim Brotherhood. Muslim Brotherhood was started in the 20s in Egypt. Hamas came out of the Muslim Brotherhood in the 1980s, and they solidified their movement with a charter in 1988, and their preamble excerpt is, Israel will exist and will continue to exist until Islam will obliterate it just as it obliterated others before it. So that's how their charter starts out, with the elimination of Israel. Okay? Then on down through here, and then the Imam Hassan al-Banna, he is the one that started Hamas. Okay? Al-Banah started the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. All right, so excerpts from the Hamas Charter called the Martyr's Oath. Okay, so here's some excerpts. The Islamic Resistance Movement is one of the wings of Muslim Brotherhood in Palestine. The Muslim Brotherhood Movement is a universal organization which constitutes the largest Islamic movement in modern times. It strives to raise the banner of Allah over every inch of Palestine, for under the wing of Islam, followers of all religions can coexist in security and safety where their lives, possessions, and rights are concerned. Man. Everywhere that Islam has taken over holy sites, they have been turned into Islamic holy sites. Christians and Jews are no longer welcome. That's just plain history. There are sites in southern Israel that were holy to the Jews for hundreds of years before Islam came along that are now off limits to the Jews and are only visited by Muslims because the Quran calls the prophet Abraham or the prophet Ishmael or all of these sites that were once sacred to Jews are now off limits to Jews. That's the track record of Islamic influence, okay?
In Germany, France, yes. England, Holland, mosques are taking the place of Christian churches.
That's right. She's saying in France and England, the churches are being bought and turned into mosques, and so there you go. The prophet, Allah bless him and grant him salvation, has said the day of judgment will not come about until the Muslims fight the Jews, killing the Jews. When the Jew will hide behind stones and trees, the stones and trees will say, "Oh Muslims, oh Abdullah, there's a Jew behind me, come and kill him." So, now then, that quote is directly out of the Muslim Hadith. Okay? So what they're saying is, Muhammad's example to us is this. And now this is in their charter and saying, the day of judgment will not come until all the Jews are gone. That's why they are struggling to be sure that there are no Jews in existence. And then the Zionist invasion is a vicious invasion. It relies greatly on its infiltration and espionage operations on the secret organizations it gave rise to, such as the Freemasons, the Rotary, and Lions Club. And others have... Do we have any members of the Rotary Lions Club in here? Really? Yeah, we got a few. Did you know that you were mentioned as an espionage group in the Hamas Charter? Isn't that amazing? You're in there, buddy. Here you are in Amarillo, Texas, at the Lions Club having lunch, and you're in the charter, boy. All these organizations, whether secret or open, work in the interest of Zionism and according to its instructions. Israel, Judaism, and Jews challenge Islam and the Muslim people. May the cowards never sleep. Okay. So, again, I want you to see what Hamas is based on, what their attitudes are based on, where it comes from, and how futile it is to think that we could negotiate with these people in any manner and bring peace into this region. It is just impossible. Unbelievable. Okay, the last thing I want to leave you with is I want you to see, you know, where all this started. When Ishmael was about to be born, God told Hagar, the angel of the Lord also said to her, "You are now with child and you will have a son. You shall name him Ishmael. For the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone and everyone's hand against him, and he will live in hostility toward all his brothers." The Arab nations are the descendants of Ishmael. Isaac's descendants are the Jewish people. God said from day one, they're going to be at each other's throats. It's going to be an all throughout time sort of thing. This was the prophecy that God gave to begin with. This is how it's going to be. Okay? And then the last thing I wanted you to, again, realize is just what we read, you know, we just got through reading. Joel 1-3, "In those days and at that time when I restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. There I will enter into judgment against them concerning my inheritance, my people Israel, for they scattered my people among the nations and divided up my land." I would be very fearful of that right there. Okay? Any questions? Keep your eyes open. Just Yes, ma'am.
What about all these Muslim people that are coming to the United States?
There are a lot. She was asking about all the Muslim immigrants in the United States. There's a lot of Muslims coming in, and probably the vast majority, they just want to live here in peace and raise a family just like everybody else. I really believe that is the case. Now then, whenever they talk about the percentage of Muslims that are violent and bent on destruction, things like that, and some people say, well, it's only 10%. Well, 10% of 1.3 billion is quite a few people. So even if it's 5%, there are a lot of Muslims out there that adhere to the teachings of the Quran, and that's dangerous. That's all there is to it. I mean, whenever the teachings of the Quran get put into the foundation of the Hamas charter and the Muslim Brotherhood charter and the PLO charter look almost identical, that's worrisome. That's worrisome. Anything else? Yes, sir. Well, that's the other thing is, Israel, when it became a nation, offered citizenship to everybody that was there. They have Arabs, Israeli Arabs, and they have Muslims on the parliament, Israeli parliament. They have had parliament members who are Arab, Israeli Arab Muslims, who have stood up and said that Israel doesn't have a right to exist. They have parliament members that have said that, and Israel continues to let them be in the parliament. That offer was made to everybody living in Israel on May 14th, 1948. Said you can become a citizen of Israel. And so I think he said like 15% are Arab Israelis. So anything else? Just keep your eyes open and watch. I hope there's a truce and it all kind of blows over, but sure is tense. All right, next week. Next week we're going to have probably a one-week lesson on clouds. So we'll look for that. Let's have a prayer. Almighty God, we thank you so much that we have your word, and we see throughout history how you've been working in the world, the prophecies that you have made, and so we're not surprised that these conflicts arise because it is between the Jewish people and the rest of the world, and specifically those descent from Ishmael who are taught that the Jews need to go. So God, we pray for this peace. We pray for peace to reign in some manner that people are not continually killed over there. But we know that this is just an outflow of history that we see happening. We thank you that you have told us the end of the story. And we know that through your Son, Jesus Christ, that anyone who believes in him can have eternal life. We thank you for that gift. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank y'all.